Amen. Oh, I count it a privilege, brother. And he was very kind in talking about knowing each other and the weight and all that stuff. And hair, you just ain't look at the top of my head. I'm a little bit taller than you. I think I am anyway. But anyway, it certainly is a good, I count it a privilege, and it's an honor to be able to stand here before you this morning. And we've looked forward to being here. We've been going to several revivals that's been in our area. We was just down at Seven Springs not that long ago. We heard Brother Knopfsinger preach and done a wonderful job. We was at here just, I believe it was the first part of this week, in Faith in Hazel, Kentucky, and heard Brother Chad, Brother Greg Wells preach, done a tremendous job. I don't know how many here knows Brother Jimmy Oliver. He used to pastor that church there for a while, and he got happy, and I think spilled over on me, I think, a little bit. And I heard Brother Jimmy shout, amen. It was kind of low, but he did shout, whoop, amen. Oh, it was a good time. And Brother Wells done a wonderful job, and he preached along some things that I have been studying about and thinking about and praying to God for. And Brother, you hit the nail on the head. The world is going to hell. When, while we're worried about these heathens that want to talk bad about those that are trying to live right, and these BLTs or BGLTs, whatever you want to call them. I said that on purpose. You know, fruit's fruit, whatever you want to call it, or, you know. But we're worried about these type of things, what people's going to say about us, but the real issue today is, people are dying and going to a devil's hell, and we're here arguing and worrying about what the world is saying and what they're going to do. Hey, I'm afraid that's to say very much, because they may arrest me and put me in jail. I do get a little loud. I do apologize for that, but I get excited when I'm preaching. And we're worried about being arrested and being put in jail, and it may come to that. Some of you here this morning may be arrested for preaching the Word of God. It may come to that. We just don't know how far down the road it's going to get. Amen. You know, better men than I have went to a prison. Better men than me have went to a prison and suffered for the cross of Christ, amen, for the Word of God. But the thing of it is, this morning I've got a burden. I've been praying. I've been praying that God give me a burden. Boy, He's gave it to me. Amen. Good. He's given it to me for lost people. Good. I've been pastoring for a little while now. Not very long. I've been preaching for about 8 years. I didn't know what it was about. How many here have been there? Didn't know what preaching was about. Thought you just get up and just preach and whatever God lays on your heart. And then, you know, you got outlines and all these things. And then sometimes you don't have an outline. God leads. You know, you do what God tells you to do. You try to follow His will. But without that burden, folks, without that desire, I've heard people said preaching would be all right for the people. Listen, it's the people. Why we preach in the first place? Amen. To have that burden for lost souls. We got right there in our church, and I preached last night to them. We got some that are lost, and young people that are lost, and they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. Don't tell me God don't answer prayers. I want to preach from John, 1 John chapter number 3, verse 1 and 2. You're going to read these two verses, very familiar passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you found that, would you stand with us out of respect for the Word of God? Here the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called." I'm called the Son of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. That's why they don't know us. We're children of God, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not tomorrow, not hoping that we're going to be, but we're the sons of God now.
And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for he shall see him as he is. Father, take me, Heavenly Father, just get a hold of me. Just move me in the right direction. Father, open my mouth. Father, to preach your word. Bless this church, Heavenly Father. It stood down through the years. This pastor, this man of God, I've known him for a while. Father, he's been standing for a while. Father, I pray you bless him and all these men of God that are here today. Father, bless him. And Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, this message might help. And Father, might stir amongst us our love for lost souls. Father, forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen and amen. Be seated. I don't know, preacher, I can't remember who it was, but he said, you ever get mixed up when your nose run, your feet smell, or your feet run, your nose smells? You ever get that mixed up? I hope I don't get that mixed up. Amen. Here in the book of 1 John, boy, John, you know, people ask me, where do you want to start reading? New converts always direct them to John chapter, and all of John's books. All of it's good. Don't misunderstand me. But starting out, you know, I always tell them, you know, the book of John is wonderful to go and to study and to read, and it's understandable. And, well, all the Bible is with the help of the Holy Spirit. But notice here, the Bible said, behold. I'm sure that all of you here this morning believe this whole Bible. And I'm not talking about just any Bible. I'm talking about this 1611 King James Bible that I have here, that all of you have in your laps and looking at this morning. And beloved, I don't believe that there's a word in this Bible that is of no use. I believe we can get something from every word, the ins and outs, all of them, ands and buts. But notice here, the Bible said, behold. Now this means that John had something to say that was very important, that he wanted us to hear. He said, behold, or the church he was writing to, or the people he was writing to, and for us too here this morning. He wanted his readers to clearly see what he had seen. Amen. What God had showed him, he wanted the readers to have the same enthusiasm as he had, for he no doubt believed that he had a divinely inspired thought of God when he penned this down. I believe that. Amen. And he said, behold. How many times you got in the pulpit and preach and you say, oh, I wish the folks could just see what I'm seeing. I just wish the folks could feel what I'm feeling. I wish they could understand the understanding that God's giving. It's not me. It's what God has done, folks. Listen, it's not anything in me that's worth anything at all, but it's all of God. It's all of God. Behold, what manner of love. Amen. This word, behold, should spark, I can't even read, should spark an interest to the reader to what the writer is about to say. Behold, the love of God. Now, this great apostle John, he's writing about something that he knew about, amen. Don't you like preaching about something you know about? Boy, when preachers get up and start preaching, you can tell if they know what they're talking about or not, amen. And I don't mean anything bad about all that. Let me just move on. But how do I know this? Because of the epistles he wrote, five books in this Bible that Brother John wrote. And in all of them, he's going to say something about the love of God. He's going to preach about the lovely one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loved my soul and saved me for all eternity. I'm going to be in heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Not anything that I've done or I even deserve. I deserve to go to a place called hell, but I'm not going to go there because of what Jesus did. I've got victory love that song. I love that song. Told you the Lord been giving me a burden. I prayed for it and I got it. He give you what you ask for sometimes. But you know, he could preach or he could write something about love and compassion Jesus had toward all men. My John walked with him. He laid his head on his breast. Heard the very heartbeat of God. He knew what love was about, didn't he? Not just the rich, but he had the love for the poor. Not just for the religious, but those that had none. The love he had for the down and outers and the up and outers. He could see this man called Jesus. He didn't see him as a man, but he saw him as God. I believe he believed that he was God's only son. The Bible said, but God commendeth the book of John, Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth, that means he exhibited, that means he showed them something. Listen, if you tell people you love them, they ain't gonna know it until you show it to them, amen? They ain't gonna know until you show it to them. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Only a man that could understand what great love God had for mankind could write such inspired words, such as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever, that was me. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, I'm happy to say that the same love John experienced over 2,000 years ago, men are still experiencing it today. Amen. Amen. We can still have it today, can't we? That same love, it is not diminished one bit. It's got, I don't see how it could have got any stronger, but it's Jesus never changed. You're right. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And his feeling towards sin today is the same way it was when he penned it down in these words in the Bible. It has not changed one little bit. It has not diminished his power. Has not diminished one little bit. But I will have to say, I don't understand why God loved me. Now, Lawrence, he knows. I tried to pick a fight with him one time. We worked together. He could tell you about it if he remembered it. I remember it. He was saved. I was lost. And that saved man said, no, no, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. He loved God. But I can't understand. I might understand why God loved him. And folks, I might understand how God loved these children and loved some of y'all here today. I might understand why he loved you. But I've struggled with the thought. I know what I am. I'm like Paul said. Well, I know that no good thing dwelleth in me. That's in my flesh. I have no redeemable reasons for God to love me. And yet the Bible tells me God loved me. Yes, me. This person that I went and looked in the mirror and tried to shave this ugly face. This person that's said things and done things I should not have done. Sinner, lost and undone. But he loved me. I don't understand it. I've struggled with that. The love
man has for God. I can understand that because God loved me first, and then I in turn loved him back. But as we read a while ago, the holy, righteous God loved me first. This dirty, rotten sinner. I don't understand that. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I was born of the bloodline of Adam. There was a death sentence on me, and I was a sinner by nature and a sinner by choice. Romans 5:12 said, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, and all have sinned. Death became universal. That day, it became universal. And because of that, I was a sinner. I'm still a sinner. Only two types of people in the world today, saved sinners and lost sinners. Some people may disagree with that. But I'm glad Christ died for my sins. Amen. So as God passed judgment on all men because of one, then because of one man shall all men be made free if they believe. You see, that's the key. Romans 5:18, therefore as by the offense of one man, talking about Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, talking about Jesus, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. Notice it said all men, amen. Now some will disagree with me on that. That's okay. One day we'll all be in heaven, and those that's saved will be there, which I know I'm saved by his grace. But listen, I believe that all men can be saved if they want to be saved. But they will not come unto me that they might have life, is what Jesus said. You would not come unto me that you might have life. Notice how God works. All died and all were justified. That is, all that believed. So salvation became universal. Amen. But all will not be saved. We know that. We understand that. All Christ rejecters will find their place in hell. Romans 11:32 said, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Why does it keep saying all, folks? Amen. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. In verse number 13 he said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, again. Whosoever. I believe, if you already can tell me now, and whosoever will gospel. All that want to be saved can be, but only the believers will be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. When I read that, I believe it's talking, telling me that all men have the possibility of being saved. But all will not be saved because of the rejection. So, we understand that God saves us because of his grace. Romans 5:21 said that as sin hath redeemed, has reigned, so as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. It's through Jesus, folks. I'm going to go to heaven because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He paid my debt. He was that vicarious death on that cross for me. I was there, should have been there, but it was him that took my place. Amen. knowing all this, I still can't comprehend the love of God. As I've thought about and inquired of God to help me understand. Folks, this is what I'm talking about. I was praying. God, help me to understand your love. Help me to understand. Help me to understand your love. I don't understand God's love. Do you understand God's love to the fullest? Do you understand? Folks, we can't even love each other in the churches right. In our own churches, we can't love each other right like we're supposed to. I mean, you got that one there in your church, you know who I'm talking about. You see him out at Walmart or something, you quickly turn your head that away. Pretend like you don't even see him. Now, is that the love of God? Yeah. I prayed, God, help me. I want a burden for lost souls. I want to see people say, we got people right there in church, our church there, Calvary there, Trigg County, lost. Cadis. God had me to look at sinners. That's what he did. He directed my attention to sinners. We like to think of a sinner as good ones and bad ones, or big ones and little ones, but God so loved the world. He loves all sinners. I believe that. Some of y'all may not believe that, but I believe he loves all sinners. Paul said this to Timothy. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save sinners, of whom I am chief. But the fact is, we are all sinners. There's none righteous. No, not one. So God had me look at man's love. You know, it's hard to love others when you love only yourself. I was listening to the news and they were talking about this, the generation. They were talking about this generation that we're living in. It's a selfish generation. It's a me generation, whatever you want to call it. On the news or whatever. I don't listen to much news. You know, if you want to get down and get backslid, just listen to the news. Yeah. One or the other, you know. You either get backslid or you're going to get in the prayer room, start praying to help God to help you get right. Amen. Jesus is coming again, folks. Just turn the news on. Look at it. It's imminent. You know, it's always been around all through all generations. I look over at Cain and Abel, the me generation. I see Cain was upset because my sacrifice, God didn't like my sacrifice. Winds up killing his own brother. I look at old Ahab. Oh, I wished I had Nabal's vineyard. I want it. It's mine. I need it. It should be mine. And went right. His wife went out and had the man killed. Here's your vineyard. It's always been that way. Judas Iscariot took 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. The price to show them the way to him. Some men have more love for their cats and dogs than they do have even for human life. I'm talking about the love of men now. This is what God showed me. This is what God has directed my attention to. Amen. People have more love for their animals than they do for their neighbors. In one day, I read somewhere on the internet, I have got to where I can use the internet now. 1,500 babies aborted in one day, in America alone. I read somewhere where there's been over, in 2014, I believe it was over 60 million. I think I'm telling you the
the figures right in America in 1 year. It's a lot of babies. They'd rather save the whales or some tree frog.
Yep.
Than they have for these unborn babies. I wonder, these babies that are killing, I don't know why we're still supporting that Planned Parenthood. I don't understand that. But are the government still giving them money? And that, by the way, that money that you give the government is what's going to pay to have these babies aborted. I hate it. I preached a message the other day with things I hate. There are some things I hate in this world. Abortion's one of them. But people would rather see a get that baby and take its those stem cells out of it just so some old man can have his get his mind back or something. You know, they say these stem cells now they're doing great research on dementia and that other other diseases. And the most effective ones that they can get is the ones from them unborn babies. And that's why the Planned Parenthood was selling them, you see. You say, well, Brother Don, you probably ain't got nobody that's got Alzheimer's or dementia. My dad's right up here in Hanson, right up here in the hospital, got dementia. And dementia is just a precursor to Alzheimer's. 85 years old, they gave him on comfort measures right now. His time may not be much longer. But people are more worried about other things than what the real problem is, and it's sin. God says, love thy neighbor. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. The golden rule. But men say, I'm going to do it to them before they do it to me. That's the way men love. Man's love is nothing like what God's love is. I know that we love God, and I know, but we can't even love God right. Sometimes our love's not right, is it? Cold and indifferent. You ever get backslid? Oh, yeah. I won't ask for a raise of hands because somebody might lie and not raise their hand. You know, when you're backslid, ain't that a miserable place to be? That's the most miserable time in my life, is being backslid, not being able to talk to God. And I just got to get right. I got to get with Him. Then God directed my attention to His love. I read all that up yonder before about the loving all men. You say, first thing God showed me, He showed me a harlot. He showed me a harlot. Yeah, that's somebody that needs to be sanctified. How many's willing to go talk to him, witness to him? What about Rahab? What about that woman? What about that woman over there in Luke chapter 7, verse number 39? He was in Simon's house. Yeah. What about her? The Bible said she had many sins. She was a sinner. Well, the Pharisees didn't even want to touch her. They wouldn't even, yeah, well, he knew who she was. He wouldn't even let her, you know, wouldn't even let her in the door. God said, here, He showed me personally, said, I love them too.
Amen.
Those people that you see out here with the long hair and the tattoos,
riding motorcycles. Listen now, don't get too hard on motorcycle riding, but I got a motorcycle. I ride mine every now and then. Don't get too very much. Stay busy all the time. Had a man call on me to pray one time. We was on a bus and it was full of men that were coal miners. I'm a coal miner, but trained is what I've done for 26 years. And we were going to up in Ohio somewhere on about our pensions. And he asked me, he said, first thing he said, Brother Don, he said, do you have any tattoos? I said, no. And he got up and told him, said, well, we're going to ask. He said, my daddy told me two things. I don't remember what the first one he said. He said, never trust a preacher that's got tattoos. And I thought to myself, no, wait a minute now. Hold on just a minute. And he said, Brother Donnie, get up and lead some prayer. And my heart was broken. Listen, the tattoos ain't got nothing to do with your soul, folks.
Right.
That hair, I'll never forget. I was a child in the 60s, okay, in the early 70s, and had that long hair and the bell-bottom pants and all that stuff. And I'll never forget when I got saved and started getting in church and trying to live right and do right and follow the Lord and all that he would have me to do. And the preacher came up to me and said, my hair is down to here. And he said, don't you think it's about time to get your hair cut? Did I rebel? No, sir, rebel. That preacher coming out, I love that man of God. I will tell you something. If you love God, you're going to love your preacher.
Amen.
Amen. You love God, you're going to love the preacher. You're going to love all preachers.
Amen.
Unless they're lies. I know some preachers are liars. Not very many. I do know. But listen, what I'm saying is you're going to love people. You're going to have the love of God in you for the man of God. He called me and said, don't you think it's time? I said, I believe it is. Got my hair cut. He never had it long again. But God showed me his love. He said, what about that one over there that's got that needle stuck in their arm? He said, I love them too. I love them too.
Yeah.
About that one that's just chaotic and just a lunatic and just downright crazy. He loves them too.
Amen.
Acting wild and cutting ourselves and all these things. We read about the old maniac of Gadara and beloved how that he, no man, the Bible said, could tame him. But when Jesus come on the scene, beloved, and left that place, he was a different man.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what happened to me.
Amen.
I was a different man. I didn't understand it when I got saved. Like I said, I don't understand why he saved me. I understand now a little bit better because he wanted me to preach and share the word of God with people.
Amen.
And he knew that he'd get a hold of me one day and break my heart over lost souls. And that I'd want to see them saved. And I pray, my prayer is if there's anybody here today that's lost, oh God, come to know him. Get saved today. God wants to save you. He's done all he can do. He's not going to do anything else. He's not going to send a lightning bolt down out of the sky, ride it across the sky, whatever. He will save you if you trust in him. You said he's got to draw you first. Well, what made you come here and be with us today? Well, daddy made me go. Well, who do you think made your daddy make you go? God works different ways, folks. God draws us and he saves us. He gets us to a place. He got me down at Calvary Baptist Church in Crane, Kentucky. Brother Gordon Downs was preaching one night. I didn't even go there, beloved. I didn't go there to get saved that night. I had a baptism on my record. I was a member of a Tuxedeville, a missionary Baptist church right down the road. And beloved, I didn't have no need of this. I just went there to see that little girl. Hold her hand. Sniff on that perfume she had on her. But there was a purpose of me being there that day. You listen, you're not here by mistake. You're here by divine appointment today. I guarantee you that.
Yes, sir.
Whatever God would have you to do today,
If it's salvation, get it. Get it. If it's getting right, if you got sin in your life, get it right. But listen, we argue and worry about sin, and we need to worry about it and need to be confessed up and prayed up. But listen, souls are dying and going to a devil's hell. And beloved, you may be the only one can reach them. It may be you. I don't know how. Listen, how many people have you led to the Lord? I've been blessed to be able to lead some people to the Lord. I worked in a prison for a little while over here at Central City, Kentucky. Green River Correctional Facility. 14 years. I was able to lead a couple people to the Lord in there. You say, you mean God saves people in prison? He did it. He did it. Paul made it. What about the old Philippian jailer? There's one man I was talking to. I witnessed to him. God's met his mom on the outside at a homecoming. They're close to home. And she said, my son's in prison. Come find out. He worked for me there. I was an officer, then I became a production coordinator there in one of the buildings where they made furniture. I said, well, she said, witness to him, said he's lost. I said, okay. So I brought, he come to my door, knocked on the door. I went to the mayor, told him the story, gave him a plan of salvation. He said, appreciate it, thank you, and walked out the door. I thought, well, I've done my duty. It was a week later. Yeah, I didn't know that God was doing his duty then. He come back, tears were there. Here you got a hardened criminal. He's a murderer. Okay, this man was a murderer. He had murdered a man. Hair down to here. He comes in, had tears going down his eyes. I said, I want to hear more about this Jesus. I want to hear more about this Jesus that you preach.
Amen.
There'll be some out there to hear you, but listen, God will change their hearts if you're faithful to pray for them. Pray for them. And believe when you pray and you ask God to save them, believe it, God's going to do it. Why, I've been praying for my loved ones for 20 years. Do you believe it when you pray that God's going to save them? How far is that prayer going to go if you don't believe? Well, I don't know. You know, listen. Pray for them. Pray for them. I'm going to close with this. God's love is for everybody. We'd like to pick and choose who God should save and who God shouldn't save. I believe God died, Jesus died for all mankind. He died for the sinner, amen. I don't understand why he saved me. I'm thankful that he did. And there'll be a day coming, and I hope it's soon, Brother Barry, when them children of yours and those children in church are going to be saying, I'm praying just as hard for them.
Amen.
Yes, we got to believe that. They got to believe it when we pray for them.
Yeah.
I'm going to close. Let me say this, there's no gutter too deep for God to reach down and pick me up and save them if they'll just repent of their sins. Repent and trust in the Lord. Psalms 40, as I close, verse 2 says this. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Out of miry clay, had set my feet upon a solid rock, and he established my goings. I'm glad he done that for me. I'm so happy he done that for me. He done it for David. He done it for me. He'll do it for anybody here. If you're here and lost today, he'll do it for you. Let's get a burden for lost souls. I guarantee you start asking God to give you a burden for lost people. Our works, our church are not going to do anything. We don't have a love for lost people. You know what? I got to think about Peter. Peter, why was Peter such a wonderful instrument of God used? How come he was such a leader? How did he become such a leader in the church that Jesus started? I see him over there right after the resurrection. And then during that 40-day period when Jesus was showing himself in many infallible proofs, he found Peter over there out in the water fishing. I don't know about y'all, but I think he was backslid. He's out there where he should have been out there preaching. And then Jesus, you know the story, Jesus said, Peter, he said, lovest thou me? He said, you know I do. They told him to do what? He told him to feed the lambs and feed the sheep. Listen, if we don't get them saved, we're not going to have any sheep to feed. We don't get them in the house of God. We don't lead them to the Lord. We're not going to have any sheep in the house of God. Where's your burden at today?
Amen.
Ask God. Ask God to help you with that. But what made Peter a great leader? He loved the Lord, but then that love that he had was shown through his work.
Yeah.
Working. Brother Lawrence.